Paul, you head to Nicholas's apartment to get ready for your meeting with Mercury. Looks like Thor has already moved in. He goes to say hello, but then he sees that you seem pretty mad when you get in.
You know, it's really no wonder. If you told people they could rob each other at gunpoint just so long as they had a proper license for it, there'd be a corporate industry for mugging in no time. Led by some Mark Zuckerberg punk who claims that he figured it out on his own, but who really had a bunch of influential friends in the arms market who helped him out. How's it different?
Nicholas says, a mugging generally doesn't improve a life.
When does a doctor's bill this size ever make a life better? Huh? What, you think anyone ever gets a letter from a medical company and thinks, hey, this must be something exciting and good? You know what gets me, Nicholas? They'll send you bills like this if you were admitted for some kind of stress-related disease. Try to relax, but also, eat dirt, nerd! It's money time!
I guess you could think of it as more like alcohol or cannabis. It's not like this stuff's good for you, but we legalize it because there's a lot of inertia behind it.
You know, what's the saying? When I give food to the poor, I'm a saint, but if I ask why the poor go hungry, I'm a communist, and if I dangle a helpless woman over a boiling novelty-sized cup of coffee, they say you're a supervillain!
Well, that one might be a common saying because it's true.
You try to do some good in the world and dangle a woman over a cup of coffee!
They also called you a terrorist, I think, which was also true.
Yeah, but that was because of the bombing, not because of the coffee!
Either way, let's get focused. I know you're mad, but if you start trying to hit whoever's responsible for your medical bill, then by the way the system is designed, you'll have to hit everyone. It's diffusion of responsibility. For now, we're preoccupied with doing something about Mercury, right?
Right, okay. All right, I'm the Green Man, Mr. Green. I'm mysterious and stoic and weird and very professional.
The fated time is nearing. What kind of preparation would you like to make?
Yeah, I'll call up Candock and Smith. Friends and compatriots, our appointment with Mercury is due.
All right, great. Should we meet you there or pick you up somewhere?
Actually, troubling news. I believe that the location is being watched by the authorities. Furthermore, the trick of using rental vehicles to avoid scrutiny might be wearing thin.
So what, you think we've been made?
I think we will be if we drive a car licensed to any of us, and we're likely inviting trouble if we rent another truck. But I've got two words for you. Electric scooters.
Electric scooters?
Yes, we can rent out three of them. Best of all, we can lose a tail easily by zipping in between traffic.
Those things aren't safe. There's no real bike lanes in New Jerseydelphia.
Look, if anyone can safely ride a scooter in New Jerseydelphia, it's a super individual.
Maybe you and Smith, sure, but my thing is that I can heal a wound after eating a bunch of fast food hamburgers. I'm still susceptible to being sideswiped by a truck.
Well, proffer an alternative then. My patience is growing thin. I see a problem and this is my solution.
All right, fine. But then what do we do about being seen if they're watching the place?
Okay, so for this, we stand out to hide. We dress like religious missionaries. You know, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever. Button-up shirt, tie, grab a Bible, and make sure that you wear your helmet.
Why would missionaries go to a construction firm, though?
Oh, you know when they hand out fake money that says your soul is worth more than money?
Is that what they say?
I don't read them either, but I'll make a drop by FedEx and have them print me a load of those. We can put them under all the windshield wipers in the parking lot.
Oh, okay. Hey, could I print out some comic tracks? Like the ones that say you're gonna go to hell if you floss your teeth wrong or if you wear your hat backwards?
Absolutely. Get into the spirit. I don't see why it shouldn't be fun.
Well, you guys dress up in your church clothes, you print off a bunch of fake money and comics about the spiritual dangers of role-playing games, and ride three electric scooters to the construction firm. Once there, you slide your various pamphlets under all the windshield wipers and go to the back door. When you knock, the same goon from before answers. But Paul, I assume you're wearing a different disguise this time.
Yep.
So he doesn't recognize you. He says, what do you guys want?
We have an appointment with Mercury. We're here to discuss divine fate and the like, if you catch my drift.
Are you the 3 p.m.?
Unless the English language has changed since yesterday, then that is what appointment means, does it not? It's 3 p.m. and we're here for an appointment.
All right. The boss is waiting. He leads you back to the office and opens the door. Inside, only Howard is waiting, apparently alone.
So we once again meet the mighty Howard. But where is Mercury? I thought I made it clear by now that I'm not a man to deal with middle managers.
Liquid silver begins rapidly pouring out from the light fixture above. It forms together in the shape of a man wearing purple spandex, a cape, and a sort of hockey mask painted with the face of a Greek god. It's probably supposed to be Hermes, if you take a guess. He says,
Now, Green Man. I expected more patience from the likes of you.
My dear man, you barely know me.
Not surprised to see me drop from the ceiling.
You're notoriously slippery. They say you can be anywhere, go anywhere. The expectation is already established. I'd be more shocked to learn you could juggle.
Is that so?
Mercury grabs a stapler, a pencil, and a little rubber stress ball off of Howard's desk, and he starts juggling them. He's not amazing at it, but he's doing it.
Aha. You've fallen for my trap. Having walked right into an arena of my choosing, you'll now find this battle was won before it began. I dive my hand into a box of pencils and start juggling, like, 10 pencils at once.
Your dexterity and perception are superhuman, and the pencils become a blur. Mercury says, still juggling,
"Oh, that's no fair. The stapler has a completely different weight than the other objects. It throws everything off."
All right, then. I accept your challenge. Throw me the stapler, and I'll throw you one of my pencils.
Fine. As you will. Are you ready?
I've planned for this exact moment going back decades. Of course I'm prepared for this moment of triumph.
Very well!
He throws the stapler, and you throw the pencil. He catches it! And he's right, the stapler does totally screw up the rhythm, but you keep it going.
Very good. But yet, who can say who's truly won this engagement? We require an objective. Let's continue to throw items until one of us drops something. Whoever can keep this up the longest is the superior juggler.
No, I refuse!
You're only refusing because you know defeat is inevitable. The other thing for which you're notorious is your cautiousness.
You fiend! You've come in here expecting to humiliate me in front of my own henchmen!
Oh, come on, it's only Howard.
Howard goes, hey.
No one cares what Howard thinks of your juggling ability. Can you imagine everyone's reaction if he tried to tell them you were a bad juggler?
Mercury says,
I don't know, what would they say?
And Howard says, well, I'd hope they'd respect me and—
See, he hopes they respect him. Not exactly overflowing with confidence. From the moment we met, I knew villains like Howard were holding back your organization. Where's the spine?
Mercury replies,
he's hired more for muscle than for his courage. Howard could lift a truck if the moment took him.
A jellyfish and a forklift rolled into one, then. And you're worried whether it sees you lose a juggling competition. Allow me to allay your concerns. Howard, catch! And I throw a pencil at him.
Howard throws up his hands. Hey! And it bounces off his arms. Mercury says,
aha! You dropped a pencil. That counts. You lose.
No, it doesn't.
Fine.
And there we see, in your heart and mind, you'd already accepted the challenge.
Indeed. I was waiting for you to lower your guard and allow the pencils to stop.
Ah, but I won't stop before you stop.
Well, you've insulted my Howard, deserving or not. Clearly he can't juggle.
Howard says, sorry, boss.
We're criticizing your lack of spine, and you come sniveling back with I'm sorry.
What of your henchmen? Can they juggle?
No. Of all the things that we've been hired to do,
they're not much for juggling. But they've shown quite a lot of talent for improv.
I don't know if I would describe it as talent.
Yeah, we've just been going along with the stuff that you say.
The word for that is improv.
Improv, is it?
I mean, like, we can adapt. You know, we're adaptive, we're creative.
I did take a couple of theater electives in college, actually.
You know, we've never talked about that, but that does not surprise me.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, remember when you were obsessed with West Side Story?
I wouldn't call it obsessed.
The only people who still care about West Side Story practice theater.
That's not true. It's a classic.
If you're both so good at improv, then you're a man trying to hide an embarrassing itch on a first date. And the other one, you're secretly three children in a trench coat.
What now?
Don't embarrass me, Smith. Be a man with an itch.
Okay. I pretend I'm walking up to a dinner table, and I keep compulsively going to itch my butthole, but catch myself at the last second, turn it into a different awkward gesture. Hi, I'm Smith. You must be Candoc.
I'm Mr. Candoc.
Yeah, you certainly are a mister. I sit down in the chair and try to use it to subtly scratch myself.
Oh, waiter, hello! I'd like an alcohol, please. Oh, you need to see my ID? Never mind, I wouldn't like one. One apple juice, please. Actually, hold on. I bend over as if consulting with another child in a trench coat.
While you're looking down, I furiously scratch my butt.
Oh, make that two apple juices. I kick myself. Sorry, make that three apple juices.
Wow, three apple juice. That's a lot of apple juice. Must be thirsty.
Yeah, you know what they say? An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Oh, yeah, I know a lot about doctors.
Really? Why's that?
No reason. I try to scratch myself with the chair again.
Oh, wow, a big boy menu. Actually, could I have the kids' menu?
When you look away, I take the fork off the table and scratch.
Thank you. Oh, it has tic-tac-toe. Do you want to play? What were you doing with your fork?
Nothing. Just giving it a polish. You know how these restaurants are. They're always just spotty work.
Oh, that's a good point. I ought to polish mine, too.
Mercury fumbles the stress ball. As soon as he realizes he's lost, he throws everything else on the floor.
Curse you to oblivion!
It appears the day is mine, Mercury.
An insipid trial. Next time, I'll choose the arena.
You might try.
I'm pleased to see you've exceeded my expectations, Mr. Green. Certainly, it was quite a feat to have blown up Unstoppable Industries, but you know what they say. An infinite number of monkeys locked in a room could do anything if given enough time.
Indeed.
They could even do monkey things.
But it's the unmonkey things that we're concerned with here. What I'm trying to say is that anything is in the scope of an infinite number of monkeys. A meticulously planned bombing is something that could be achieved by a baboon, if it were lucky enough. But a baboon that can do that and also defeat me in a game it devised on the spot, on my own turf, the odds are simply too far stretched to believe. Your skill isn't just luck, Mr. Green, and your henchmen are impressive too. I rather like the part where the children ordered 3 apple juices.
What about my part? I was pretty good.
It was fine, but rather too blue-collar in my opinion. The itch didn't have to be on your butt. The one you called Candoc really elevated it.
My role was guy with an embarrassing itch. How was that not supposed to be blue-collar? It was going to be embarrassing.
I'll permit it's better than Howard would have done.
And Howard says, you didn't even let me try. I would have played a role.
I did great with the material that I was assigned.
You went the obvious direction with it, but I'll give you points for your commitment and for your confidence in the face of my withering criticism.
I don't see what wasn't obvious about the direction Candoc went.
Don't worry, Smith. You'll do better on the next one.
Though that concludes the practical aspects of this interview, now we come to the dull and humdrum questions. Why would one of your independent talents seek to join my organization?
You piqued my interest during the attack on your compound. I saw the machine you built, and I realized that you were devoting actual wealth and influence towards talent. Yes, we are independently capable, but if granted resources and a network of personnel, we could achieve heights that would be beyond recognition.
Ah, so you've come for my money, then.
Well, that, or we attempt to create a rival crime syndicate and debilitate both of our resources over the span of years or lifetimes. If I join you, we cut to the meat of our objectives. Elsewise, we entrench and come to a point of static equilibrium.
I admit, I've had some trouble determining your origin and your source of income. I must be frank. We receive assistance from outside the country. There are interests that would like to see a political tide change in the States. And if you're receiving support from a foreign element, I believe everyone would like to know who is providing that. In fact, though you impress me, I was rather weary of this meeting. You're correct. I am cautious and would have avoided exposing myself. But my financiers insisted that we become better acquainted.
At the moment, we're making ends meet through the kinds of white-collar crime and fraud that benefit the political classes. These sorts of instruments can be long-lasting, so long as you don't step on the wrong toes.
Interesting. Does your network of fraud involve any political figures that I know?
If it did, I would be a poor villain to immediately betray those names.
If you haven't involved a major political figure, I'd consider getting them involved. The surest way to stay standing is to make sure that the lawmakers would topple with you.
But alas, kidnapping Kelvin McDonnell has burned most of the prominent bridges towards that kind of corruption.
Aha! You fool! You've betrayed entirely too much by speaking without thinking. I know you lack backing from political elite now. If you had them, it would be as clear as day that McDonald makes enemies as freely as he breathes. They all wrap themselves in shrouds of greed and conflict. Attempting to negotiate around their various grudges and personal tastes is like trying to untangle a web of Christmas lights. But it can be done. And many of my influences would be happy if you went out and kidnapped McDonald again.
Is that so?
Yes, that's why I said it!
Well, now it is you who's betrayed too much information. McDonald traffics in weapons, oil, and pharmaceuticals. Because the American system is composed mainly of monopolies and oligopolies, that means that your domestic financiers must be primarily involved in other industries. Otherwise, they would suffer from the instability created by opposing McDonald.
That's not true. It's a complicated multinational web. There could be people who'd like to climb that ladder by eliminating McDonald. It could be anyone.
No, but you're protesting entirely too much, which means I'm on to something.
That's not true. I just feel compelled to correct you because you're trying to act clever and turn this around after you made an obvious mistake.
Come now, Mercury. You're on the defense now. You might as well come
no,
clean.
No, okay. If you've really learned something, then name 3 people who could be financing me based on what I've told you. Go ahead. I'll wait.
All right. Fine. Touché.
Correct. Victory is mine.
Indeed.
Can't win them all, can you, Mr. Green?
Certainly, I suppose not.
Anyway, where were we? What were we talking about?
I will join your organization.
You dare to impose on me? To declare yourself a member of my organization without an invitation?
I will join you, and I will stop at nothing. I cannot be prevented. I will find a way.
You will find me to be an immovable object, Mr. Green, unless I choose otherwise.
Then you deny me. You would make me your enemy.
There is another way you haven't considered. I hereby declare us to be in an alliance.
So then I have joined you.
No, we are allied. You have not joined me until I say we have joined.
Well, exactly, what is the difference outside of semantics?
The difference is that we are allied.
Yes, but that's not a practical difference. We are still joined.
Silence! My declaration is final, and it is law.
Very well.
And now that these ties are made, we have much to discuss.